morning, everybody. It's really good to be speaking to you again. And we've got an interesting passage before us. Do not deprive the alien or the fatherless of justice, or take the cloak of the widow as a pledge. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. That is why I commanded you to do this. When you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat the olives from your trees, do not go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. That is why I command you to do this. So, I want to start with a little bit of background about this verse, about this passage. This is a passage from Deuteronomy, and it's part of the law of Moses. So Moses was giving the law for the Hebrews, as they were known at the time, for when they moved and conquered the land that the Lord was going to give them. So when this was given, they were in the desert. So they hadn't that many years earlier been slaves in Egypt. And I'm sure all of you know about how they escaped and all the 10 plagues that they went through, or rather the Egyptians went through, and how they left and what to create what Jews now call the Passover. So they left, and now they were doing the 40 years in the wilderness. And this is when Moses gave his law that they were to live by when they got into the land. Now, the Bible, all the way through, has a real leaning, it's impregnated with God's sense of justice, his sense of fairness, and his sense of care and mercy. And the two kind of go together. I'll give you a story that I heard of how justice and mercy go together. There was two childhood friends. They'd known each other as friends at school. And as they grew up, they grew apart. One was a very bright young man, and he went off and became a judge. He went to university, trained, became a judge. The other one, unfortunately, went a little bit off the righteous path, and he became a criminal. He committed crime. And so he was charged with theft, and he was taken to court, and he came before his friend, his childhood friend. And the judge was left with a dilemma, because he had to give out the correct sentence, the correct punishment. That was only just and fair. But he also wanted to be merciful towards his friend. So what he did was he passed the correct sentence of a big fine. But when he'd done that, after the court case, he came down from his high bench and he wrote a check for that fine, to pay the fine for his friend. So I hope from that story you can see that there's a balance between justice and mercy. And we see it here in this verse when the Hebrews are being told, when you harvest your fields, leave a little bit for those that are short of food, that need a little bit of help, need some wheat and some fruit. Of course, and I'm sure most of you here do know the story of Ruth, we see that being played out in Ruth, where Boaz told his workers to leave a little bit of food for Boaz, for Ruth, sorry, because she was her mother, her mother-in-law had lost her husband, Ruth had lost her husband, they were without a husband, and so they needed a little bit of help. They needed mercy. And so we have this almost impregnated right through the Bible, this whole business of being merciful and being just. We know that eventually the Hebrews, who became the Israelites, did go into the promised land. And we have all the stories of the walls falling down around Jericho and everything as they went into the land and took it. And we also know that from Israel, the whole world was saved. Go into that in a little bit. But one of the things that this suggests to us is that if we believe in God, if we believe that we are saved through Jesus, then actually faith alone, we need to actually act out our faith. And in James, we are told we must live out our faith. There must be action with our faith. It's no use saying to someone, well, you know, may the Lord bless you, but not give them a coat if they have no coat, or leave them hungry if they have no food, because actually that's no real justice at all. And actually, through faith, through action, we can bring others to Christ. I want to tell you another story of when I was living on the South Coast. And one of the local churches, they had a weekly drop-in where they provided facilities for the homeless. They fed them, gave out clothes if they needed to. I think they possibly even allowed them to have a shower and they could come. And obviously in the winter, they would be warm as well. And there was a man came along and they provided the food and the shelter and the clothes, the warmth, as they were doing for all the others. They didn't talk about Jesus to him, not at the beginning. They didn't have that privilege for a whole year. They didn't have that privilege for a whole year. I met this man when he was being baptized. It was a joint service, we all went along. And he was being baptized. He'd come to the Lord. And he'd come through genuine faith being acted out. He'd been really cared for. When we are giving out care and support to other people, it must be genuine. And we might not be able to talk to them about Jesus straight away, as in the case of this man. It took a whole year before they were able, had enough confidence and had got to know him enough and got that relationship where they could actually start to talk to him about Jesus and about faith. So our care, our help has to be genuine. Now, in some ways, life today is, I know, a lot more complicated than it was for the Israelites. We have a welfare state, we have the NHS, and some of the things that were maybe happening in the time of this reading, in the time of Jesus, are different today. I'm particularly thinking of the story of the Good Samaritan. Obviously, today, if we came across someone that had been very badly beaten, we'd probably get an ambulance because we're not qualified. Well, I know some of us are nurses. I don't think we've got a doctor in the congregation. We might give immediate medical help, but basically we'd send them off to hospital to be treated by the qualified professionals. We'd probably get the police involved as well, because a crime had been committed, and so we'd leave it in the hands of the police. We wouldn't do what the Good Samaritan did, of take that man and care for him in the way that is described in the Bible. And that makes things a little bit more complicated in our society. I've already shared what one local church, it was actually in Bournemouth, were doing, of having services for the homeless. That is one way churches can do it. I know that we now are opening up to have a warm space for people. I also know that we have West Croydon, who are working with asylum seekers, and we have the food bank. That is another way that we can do it. But it's more complicated. This is social justice, and in order to really engage with social justice, we also have to engage with our politicians, with the groups that are campaigning. I know some of you are not that fond of politics in the church, but it's the only way that we can do some of the social media stuff that we need. We are called by the Bible to do. But something even deeper is a message here, because all of us were slaves to our sin. Just like the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, we were slaves to our sin. And Christ came, he went on the cross, and he showed mercy. He paid the price for our sin. Remember the story of the judge and his friend? So Jesus did give out the judgment. God did have judgment. He carried out that sentence. But the Lord Jesus took that sentence upon himself, that sentence of death. And he went on the cross and took that punishment for us, so that we now have that mercy. We can be Christians, and we can look forward to eternal life. And obviously, my hope is that we can bring more people to Jesus, as many people as possible to Jesus, so that they can share in the love, the kindness, and they too can look forward to eternal life. But obviously, we have to do that in some of the ways I've described, and we have to survive. We are called to live on earth first. And we have basic needs of food, shelter, heating. And we do need, on a practical level, to provide those. So this is on different levels. There's a spiritual level of it. There's a practical level. There's a moral level. Finally, I just want to say, we need to consider how we use our resources. Some of us have got more resources than others. How do we use our money? How do we use our time? What do we fill our minds with when we watch the television? Does God call us to do something for him, to show that mercy, that kindness, that love that is so evident through this passage. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Son, so wonderfully given on the cross. But we remember that he also raised from the dead. He also rose from the dead, so that we can have that mercy. Help us, Lord, to seek opportunities where we can care for those who are less able, who are vulnerable, who are in pain, who are suffering, that we seek those people out, that we work as a church, that we work as individuals to provide help for these individuals. And Lord, maybe as happened in Bournemouth, if we work hard enough, we can then start to talk to some of these people about you, Lord. And we pray this in your name. Amen.